Good afternoon, I'm Linda Dow. On today's In Focus, we'll be talking about protecting our lakes and rivers for future generations. Joining us from Watersheds Canada, Barbara King, Director of Programs and Partnerships, and newly appointed Executive Director Robert Pye. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Linda. It's so great to be back.
Great. Hi, Have a chat. Thank you both.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Robert. So, Barb, we haven't talked for a while, but it's nice to have you back and nice to meet Robert as well. Barbara, you've been Executive Director at Watersheds Canada for many years. How does it feel now to be handing over the reins to Robert?
Yeah, I'm really excited, actually. I've been around for a long time working at the organization. So I was here kind of before the organization even became Watersheds Canada. So it's really exciting for me to pass the reins on to Robert and take a step back and really focus on the programs and, to work part-time. So I'm very excited. And I think he brings skills and, a lot to the organization that will help us to take us to the next level.
Tell us a little bit about your new role.
Yes. So my new role, I kind of get to come back to the roots. So I started off working at the organization out there in the community, working with partnerships, developing programs, and, really working with people on the ground. And that's what really excites me is to be able to spend more time in developing our programs, working with our partners, and just getting out and, having an impact in terms of, freshwater health. So, I mean, that's the ultimate goal of our organization and to be able to really work, kind of on the ground and in developing really great programs and, getting our name out there is really exciting for me.
Great. Now, Robert, congratulations on your recent appointment. So how does it feel to be part of the team there at Watersheds Canada?
Well, thank you. In Watersheds Canada, employment opportunity that I found this summer is actually a dream come true. It fits very nicely into my career plan. It's an extension of 25 years of conservation work I did previously with the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. And I've always been, at a level of admiration for the work of Barb King and her team and her volunteers over the past number of years, specifically with respect to the work of Watersheds Canada as a national charity, bringing in great volunteer support and funding support to take on really meaningful shoreland restoration projects as well as fisheries programs. So this is, I'm not a fish out of water, that's for sure, when it comes to this job, pardon the pun, this is a great segue to my passion in life, and that's the great outdoors.
Sounds like a great fit for you. So what role actually does Watersheds Canada play in protecting our waterways? Who wants to answer that? Robert?
Well, we can both type in. I'll let Robert start.
Okay. Give it to the new ED, see how I do. Well, okay. anybody that visits Lanark Leeds, for example, either lives here or visits to go boating or fishing or swimming or spending time at a cottage, will understand through firsthand experience how important our natural resources are, not just in terms of social economic, but especially for wildlife values. All the things I just said there is the way that Watersheds Canada approaches the day every day. How can we look after those shorelands to work seven generations ahead? And it's an interesting day to be talking about that, isn't it? That we are an organization that has a lot of respect for the land and has a lot of respect for the people on the land and where we come from. And I think that Watersheds Canada's kind of magic potion, so to speak, is the volunteers that take time and express interest, saying, I've owned lakeshore property in my family for generations. What can I do to really make sure that this is something that is going to have not just aesthetic values, but it's going to have real meaningful values for wildlife and the protection of our lakes? And that's where our programs come in. We have staff and volunteers that come in with our Natural Edge program, and we work with Canadian Wildlife Federation on Love Your Lake program. And now we're involved in helping municipalities find their way through all the maze work, so to speak, of regulations around what should be done to protect our shoreline. So Watersheds Canada has a real role to play. How did I do, Barb?
You're fantastic.
Okay, I'm going to ask the question, what does a healthy waterway look like? What's it supposed to look like before we go any further?
Yeah, that's a great question. And really kind of looking at, we're not anti-development or anything like that. It's really finding that balance and working with people to have a balance between us there as humans and having the habitat for wildlife and nature. So when you're looking at your shoreline property, it's having 75% of your shoreline in a natural state where you have woody debris, you've got fallen logs, you've got different native plants, and a variety of habitats for the very species that rely on that shoreline environment. And then keeping a portion for us and humans as we develop. And we found that most people, I mean, everybody cares. We survey people, we've surveyed thousands of people who live and visit our shorelines and freshwater, and everybody cares very much about the health of our freshwater, so our lakes and rivers and tributaries. It's just that disconnect between, what does that actually mean on the land? So as a property owner, what does that mean in terms of how I manage my property? Mm-hmm. And that's where we come in as an organization.
So with the work you do at Watersheds Canada, what are some of the biggest challenges that you're finding in keeping those waterways healthy then, Barb or Robert?
Yeah, we can both pick up. I'll let Robert start, I guess, if you want.
Well, yeah, Barb will be the 20-year expert on this with respect to Watersheds Canada. But let me just talk about the obvious that anybody outside of the walls of Watersheds Canada recognizes: the fact that, especially in the last 2.5 years, there's been more demand and more increased attention on our waterways. We now have a working from home lifestyle that has driven people to want to turn those seasonal, just a few weeks of the year at the cottage type of places, to permanent resident homes. And then there's more traffic on the lakes and just more demand for our resources, which is great. But we now have to really lean into the programs. There's actually more program demand. And I got to say that, we live in a society that sometimes thinks that the work for our natural resources is done strictly through tax dollars, and it's not. Is done through people who give of their own time and volunteer work and their own donations to environmental charities like Watersheds Canada to really get the job done. So if there was ever a time in your life to really consider having a charity on your side for the environment, it's right now, because there's more demand for it.
And you're working with what, the lake associations and the conservation authorities as well, and with the actual landowners too, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're we never work alone, and that's been a philosophy that we've had since we were incorporated. Is we try to partner whenever possible, and we work collaboratively with all sorts of different partners, from lake associations, conservation authorities, individuals.
And so
for our
the
programs.
The importance of your new role, Barbara.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a great team that has been with us for a long time. So I'm super proud of the team that we have in place. And, I think there's lots of opportunities for new partnerships and programs as we continue our work.
So what are the major obstacles, would you say, in trying to keep our waterways healthy? What's happening there?
I can start on that one, Robert, if you're good. So if you Google, and I actually challenge people to go out and Google, cottaging or waterfront, development. And, this has come up, what we're seeing in kind of the mainstream media, when you're looking at, how do we live, at the lake? Sometimes, what the images that we're seeing is this very developed shoreline, kind of bringing the city to the lake, and that we want to have, grass to armor stone, and sort of bring in that city landscaping. So I think that's one of the obstacles that we have, is that we need to bring sort of the message that natural is beautiful, and to mainstream in terms of the images and in people's minds, so that as people come and start, developing their lakefront property, that they're bringing those values as
has
well.
Climate,
and
Has climate change impacted anything?
I'll take this one, Barb. Climate change is real, and the programs that Watersheds Canada presents are a step in the right direction to combat climate change. It takes me a second to explain, but if you indulge me here. So, picture a shoreline that has no buffer zone, and you've got opportunity for runoff, and then as a result, flooding. Climate change will cause these natural, events that we've seen, especially in the last few years. And the work of Watersheds Canada with our shoreline restoration work helps provide climate change resiliency, as well as all the tree planting so on that we're taking quite seriously. So there's a lot of great connections to climate change and the programs that we deliver. We have to be careful that we're not throwing that around as a buzzword. So I'm very careful in saying that climate change is a direct strategic goal of strategic goal of Watersheds is to make sure that we have programs that fight climate change, that is. And I'm really proud of our work.
Right. My guests are Barbara King and Robert Pye with Watersheds Canada. I just wanted to ask you about this a new initiative that you have and a new project called the Fish Habitat Restoration Toolkit. What's that all about?
Yeah, we have a fantastic toolkit that we've put together. And it's funny because we were launching it right before the pandemic hit. And we had to put a bit of a pause button because we weren't able to go out and do a lot of in-person work with community members. But we were, carrying out fish habitat restorations, such as walleye restorations, putting fish habitat back in the lakes. So that's bringing, woody debris and kind of homes and areas for fish to hide and raise their youngs. And we thought, why not package, these programs in a format that we can share with other organizations? And Robert actually just participated in a restoration this very week. So we can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I thanked Barb. I was at a project this week near Renfrew, where the Lake Association residents decided on their own initiative to help protect a tributary that in April sees for at least a few days quite a stack of walleye come up to spawn. And as you can appreciate, walleye need good clean surface rocks, or rocks with without silt, to be able to spawn. And those rocks were covered in silt, and our staff and volunteers were out there with a pressure washer donated by Ontario Federation of Anglers Hunter Zone F, and we had some volunteers from the Olmsted and Jeffrey Lake Association out, and we actually sprayed off the silt on the rocks, and it made a huge difference. So there's one case where anglers and lakeshore residents can know that the work that we've done this fall will certainly help improve the walleye fishery moving forward.
That's great. Now, a new program you have going on there is called Planning for Our Waterlands. And I was surprised to see the word waterland, shore lands instead of shorelines.
I
So
and
talk
I
about that for just a second.
yeah, well, I have to confess that when I first started here, like 6 weeks on the job, everybody was polite enough to tell me that or to not tell me that I was not saying the name right, because I kept saying shorelines. But now that I think
Yes.
about it, shorelands is quite intentional, because when you think about it, it's not just a little line. We're talking about shorelands. So
Right.
I'll never screw it up now, but it's protecting our shorelands,
Okay.
which is, six or 7 meters back to really provide that buffer zone for runoff, but also for all kinds of species, turtles, butterflies, white-tailed deer, you name it, that will use those areas.
Okay, and I'm sorry, we only have a couple of minutes left, but I'm just wondering if you would want to talk for a minute about the webinar you have coming up. Barb?
Yeah, you're the October 6th, we have an amazing webinar for the Planning for Our Shorelands project. So it's really exciting for us to be able to share, especially around the municipal election. So this is a fantastic time for people who visit or live, on, freshwater in Ontario to engage in some of the issues around the municipal elections. So Robert is actually going to be hosting that workshop, and I don't know if you want to say any more about that, but it's kind of,
Well, I'll just go back to the climate change topic. Climate change action starts really at the local level. It's a global issue, but it can really start at the local level. So we encourage anybody that cares about their waterways locally, especially everybody that's running for municipal office, to be involved in that webinar. It's not a lecture. It's not a, you know, it's not a campaign. It's just to bridge the communication gap between property owners and municipal elected officials. So it's going to be great.
And how to register for that then?
Just to be very direct, go to find our link through our Facebook page, and that's Watersheds Canada or watersheds.ca.
Okay, and register through there for October 6th webinar.
That's right. Free webinar, and we appreciate a little donation too.
All right. Anything to add before we go that we haven't covered?
Well, listeners, for your show should be really proud of the work that your station is doing to promote the community, and really proud of your station and its work to promote community partners like Watersheds Canada. We are national in scope, but we really believe in the community.
Great. Thank you very much, Robert, for that. So I want to thank you both very much for joining us, and good luck with everything with the webinar on the 6th of October. And yes, very nice to chat with you and to meet you too today, Robert. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you both.
Thanks, Linda. Much appreciated.
You're much appreciated. Thank you.